The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Figures from Tusla show that it inquired into less than 1 in 5 referrals it received about child welfare issues in parts of Dublin earlier this year within a 3-month period. What does all of this say about the system? Well, Jennifer Whitmore is Social Democrats TD for Wicklow, and she joins me now, as does Keelan Gallagher, the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection. You're both very welcome to the programme. To start with you first, Jennifer, you might just bring us through some of the figures that have come out from Tusla about the level of referrals that they have received in Dublin and how they are responding to them.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me on, Ciara. My Social Democrat colleague, Aidan Farrelly, who's the spokesperson for children, he received figures from Tusla in relation to the amount of referrals that they have and indeed how quickly they're actually able to progress those referrals. And I mean, they are really, really shocking when you see them laid out in black and white. So if you take an area like Dublin South Central, only 21% of the referrals had a preliminary inquiry. And within that 21%, only 2% of the entire total were followed up within 5 working days. And you can see this across many different areas. It's a similar situation in Dublin South West, Kildare and West Wicklow, where only 14 of 460 cases were followed up within 5 days. And when you think, Ciara, that these are our most vulnerable children, someone has gone to the trouble of notifying that they have concerns about these particular children, and yet there is no follow-up, you know, timely follow-up with them. I think it is really, really worrying what we're seeing.
Jennifer, what is the process when a referral comes in to Tusla? I take it, given the volume, that they are prioritised, that there is a hierarchy.
There is a hierarchy, and I can, you know, to be fair to Tusla, like, the amount of referrals that are coming into them at the moment are just enormous. We're really at a record high. There's around 100,000 referrals in 1 year, you know, so the Tusla staff, there just really isn't enough of them. And that's probably the biggest problem that we see here, that when referrals come in, you know, that it's not that they're not getting to them quick enough, and that's why you see cases where children, you know, aren't receiving the care or the contact that they need quickly. But you know, in some instances, we've heard reports where not only has that not happened within five days, but like, it can actually go on for months. And I know that there was a HICWA inspection in one Tusla in the Dublin South Central one, where there was a child who was referred over a sexual abuse case, and they were on the waiting list for 14 months. You know, so there's some really, really completely unacceptable delays in actually Tusla making contact with these children and their families to make sure that the children are okay.
I just want to read part of a statement that has come in from Tusla. They say that each referral received by Tusla is reviewed by a duty social worker or a team leader within 24 hours of being received. And they say where an immediate risk to a child is identified, an immediate protective response is taken. Keelan, to bring you in there, what's your reaction to what you have heard there from Jennifer in relation to those figures, and indeed with the response from Tusla, who say if there's an immediate risk to a child, if that's identified, an immediate protective response is taken?
Well, one of the problems is that it's very hard to tell from that initial referral if there is an immediate risk to a child. I mean, many of your listeners, of course, will have been following closely those horrendous cases of Kyron Durlan and Daniel Arabose. And we're very aware that in many cases where a referral might be for neglect, for example, rather than abuse, there may still be very serious risks to the child. So the worry is that if you're simply doing a screening process on paper and then 4 out of 5 cases aren't getting a timely follow-up, you may miss some very serious cases. So I'm very troubled by these figures. I'm acutely conscious, as Jennifer says, that Tusla are operating under terrible pressure at the moment. You know, child referrals to Tusla reached a record high last year. The figure this year is rising above 100,000. And I appreciate there are terrible pressures upon them. And indeed, in August, Tusla was very clear, as of the start of August, that they were going to far, far exceed their budget. They said they expected to be about €68 million over budget because the demand for services is rising for a whole range of reasons. So social workers and frontline workers are under terrible pressure. And really what we're seeing here is long-term underinvestment in our child protection system, coming home to roost. That's what those figures represent.
So really what you're saying, Keelan, is even though TUSLA said, look, if there's an immediate risk to a child and that is identified, an immediate, they say, protective response is taken, you don't feel completely satisfied that that is the case?
No, my concern is that if you're doing an on, of course, it's important that you do an immediate on paper review of every referral, like any form of triage system, to see what response is required. What the figures today show that in 4 out of 5 referrals received in parts of Dublin, there simply was no review, no inquiry after that very, very initial review on paper. So that's one of the serious concerns here, because that may mean, of course, that you miss key cases. So, for example, Dublin South Central, you have 2,168 referrals during the first 3 months of the year. Only 455 of those were the subject of a preliminary inquiry. So tiny number, under 1 in 5 were the subject of a preliminary inquiry. Now, that quote suggests that of the entirety of that 2,168 cases, there was some kind of paper-based review. That wasn't necessarily Jennifer's understanding or my understanding prior to hearing the quote. But if it was a review, it was very limited because it wasn't a preliminary review looking into the case, making inquiries.
So what happens then to those children in the interim? Are they just relying on the schools to support them, on other public health nurses and other bodies like charities, Bernardo's, the ISPCC, the wider community to support them? Is that, so, are they filling the gap here?
Well, the short answer is no, because, of course, great work has been done by a whole range of civil society bodies to try to plug the gaps. But what we're seeing over the last year in particular has been TUSLA really creaking at the seams. And there have been so many of these examples, you know, over the last year, which feel like crisis moments. You know, so, for example, you might remember around July, Mr. Justice John Jordan, who hears the weekly special care list, raised very serious concerns about children at the highest risk in Ireland, who may be detained for their own safety. He described as very troubling that there were no beds available in any of the special care units for girls. One girl, a 16-year-old girl who was exchanging sex for money and abusing multiple drugs, there was no suitable placement for her. A 14-year-old boy who'd been found passed out in central Dublin having overdosed. So children at very, very serious risk were failing them. And then at this initial stage, when referrals are received, we're failing them too. Now, I should say, I'm very conscious that there has been a very recent budget increase for TUSLA for Child Protection Services, and I welcome that. There's been an increase of about 15% since the 2025 budget for the 2026 budget. But really, it feels like the boy in the dyke. You know, we're plugging holes in the system. And really, this is a result of very long-term under-resourcing, and far, far more is needed urgently in order to get the system working properly. My view is we need root and branch reform rather than every single time there's a headline like there was in the Journal today, or every time there's a terrible case like Daniel Arabo's or Kyron Dernan, we all shake our hands and wonder what we can do. And it feels to me as if we need to give far higher priority to child protection and far better resourcing across the piece for child protection.
You mentioned that funding there, and there is now increased funding. It's up to 1.3 billion in the latest budget for TUSLA. They would say they have a higher number of social workers working within TUSLA than they've ever had before. They have a higher number of referrals than they've ever had before, and they have the highest budget that they have ever had. That progress, despite the increased numbers, is being made here.
Well, it's right that progress is being made, and I do welcome that budget increase. Of course, it's very positive news that there's that budget increase. The concern that I have, and others who are specialists in this field, like the Ombudsman have, is actually that this is too limited and that even more is needed. Because what we're seeing at the moment is that TUSLA has been overspending substantially. So, for example, it's expected overspend for 2025 was 67.8 million euro overspend. Now, that included 7.6 million euro overspend for children in the international protection process and refugees from Ukraine. But across the piece, what we're seeing is TUSLA's services, demand for them growing. And that's for a few reasons. There's those issues about international protection. There's also an increased need for residential care, fostering, legal bills also. And then there's a particular issue about the very high cost of some out-of-state placements, but that involves a very small number of children who are brought to the United Kingdom when suitable services aren't available in Ireland. And if the agency can't place children in special care in the existing facilities, then this sometimes has to happen. And that, of course, then leads to additional travel costs and so on. And it feels to me as if over a long period of time, those of us who are specialists in this field have been saying there needs to be far more investment. I think we're going in the right direction with the budget increase that we're seeing. But the concern, of course, is that it's not enough, that more needs to be done faster in order to protect the most vulnerable children in the country.
Jennifer, there is another point here, which is that Tusla is now going to receive nearly 100,000 referrals this year. It's a number that just increases and increases and increases. There seems to be a growing demand for the services that they provide and the support that they provide. There must be wider societal issues here that we need to discuss and that need to be addressed that is leading to this surge in referrals to Tusla.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And what we're seeing is that, you know, that there isn't really sufficient supports for families who are struggling. And, you know, that in itself, that, you know, poverty and as Keelan was saying, you know, the fact that we would have greater number of families who are living in emergency accommodation, like the where people are living and how they're living and the resources available to them, like the fact that they're limited in all those aspects of their life makes life so much harder, and some people and some families really struggle, and therefore their children really struggle. So I think this is a societal issue, you know, and I think we do need to really get back to ensuring that there's sufficient resourcing at the ground level, and when money is spent, that it is making a difference to those families. But I just want to sort of mention something that Keelan mentioned as well. I think there's some sort of gaping holes in the system that government it just continually ignores, and I would have serious concerns. And to me, it seems that rather than having a long-term plan to deal with these issues, the government is sort of dealing with it on an emergency basis a lot of the time, which is oftentimes a lot more expensive than actually having the system in place that they, you know, can that the public system can provide it, and as well as that, it doesn't give the protections that children need. And if you're looking at areas such as the emergency accommodation, you know, the fact that HICWA don't have inspection role there, you know, like there's a lot of, I suppose, gaps in the system where children who do need support aren't getting it. And I think that's certainly something that, you know, government could focus on. And indeed, you know, the Ombudsman for Children has been really strong in his condemnation of this, and the fact that, well, you know, they had a report recently, the Child Death Review report, and they recommended there's a national review panel. And the Children's Ombudsman said that needs to have a statutory footing. At the moment, it has no teeth whatsoever. It can't, you know, it can't even independently publish its own reports. It can't compel information from agencies. So, you know, there is
much more than just funding.
Absolutely, you know, and these things are possible. But what we need is the government to take a longer term view of this issue and not sort of having sticky plaster approach to it. And whether that is supporting children in their own homes and their families, that when they do need those supports, that there is funding there to deal with that. But also, if children are in the system, that actually that the system can wrap around them and make sure that they have the support that they need. You know, and we just haven't seen that to date, and we've seen tragic consequences from that, unfortunately.
Jennifer Whitmore and Keelan Gallagher, thank you for taking the time to speak to us on The Hard Shoulder this evening.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.